The title of this morning's address is Entitlement, and every so often I remind the congregation that these are my thoughts. No one has to believe me. It's easily forgotten that Jesus did not establish a new religion. Jesus was born Jewish, he died Jewish. What he did do was bring new thinking to his Jewish faith. Paul, the disciple, was also of the Jewish faith. However, Paul was born a Jew outside of the land of Israel. At that time, the dominant culture of the Mediterranean was Greek. The international language of the time was Greek. The great philosophical schools of Socrates and Plato were Greek. It was the birthplace of democracy. The art of theatre began in Greece. Paul was part and born into that cosmopolitan Greek world. And Paul also belonged to a privileged elite because he was also a Roman citizen. And it is likely that Paul was born rich. Now, he doesn't say that. It is surmised from the fact that Paul repeats over and over again, I don't sponge off anyone, I work to earn a living. And people who have always had to work don't tell everyone they meet that they have a job, that they work for a living. It is just assumed we all work for a living. Paul introduced the message of Jesus outside of the world beyond Judaism. And naturally, his teachings were mediated through his background and experiences. So Paul brought the God of the Jews to a very cosmopolitan world. And in quite a short period of time, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. Jesus was declared God incarnate. Christianity was part of the most powerful empire the world had ever seen. So not only was the Roman Empire powerful, so too was its God, that was now Jesus. The story of Jesus, born in a stable in poverty, moved into the halls of power at a very early time in its development. And when the Roman Empire collapsed, the Christian faith by then was established in political power systems. 40 years after the death of Jesus, the Jewish nation was dispersed from the land of Israel. Within a short period of time, Jews and Christians were then separate faiths. And Christians blamed Jews for the death of Jesus, and this accusation was used as a reason to persecute the dispossessed Jews. The Jews were wandering in Europe, they were homeless, they were refugees, and Christians could have said, well, they're the ones who killed Jesus. You know, we all look for an excuse to dislike strangers. Images of Jesus in the Christian story come to us through the prism of Western eyes. Just for a moment, think of how the Nazis and their propaganda portrayed Jewish citizens of Germany. They were shown as swarthy in appearance, dirty, uncouth, awkward looking. That's not how Jesus is ever portrayed. He is portrayed as strong and handsome, and his mother generally has fair hair and blue eyes. I wonder if it was this historic association with empire that has given Western culture and religion this sense of entitlement that we Westerners have. European colonization spread Christianity throughout the world. Christians speak of bringing the good news of Christianity, but almost without exception, the arrival of Christians was disastrous for indigenous peoples. Jesus said that in God's kingdom, the poor, the dispossessed, and the simple would have premier place. St. Paul thought that in Christianity there is equality. He wrote, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, men or women, slave or free. There may have been equality between Christians when they gathered together to share bread and wine, but that equality rarely spread beyond the communion table. The certainties of Christians that theirs was the only correct truth facilitated them in destroying indigenous cultures. Now, we in Ireland have never owned an empire, personally. Irish as a nation haven't. But we were an active participation in the affairs of the British Empire, of which we are a part. And from the 19th century onward, Ireland sent countless missionaries to less developed countries. And that was probably done with good intention, but it came with a sense of paternalistic superiority. We knew better than the people we were going to. The message of Western cultural superiority is pervasive. When Western culture discovered the Americas, they brought with them diseases. They were lethal to the local populations. The Spaniards and the Portuguese went to South America, and by the 19th century, having changed South America, got rid of the Aztec religion and the Mayan religion, with a mixture of coercion and persuasion, they were the richest landowners in Spanish-speaking America by the 19th century. They owned every third-level education college, and they owned every power source in every village. In North America, it was government policy to destroy Indian culture. When gold was discovered on Indian ancestral lands, the Indians were forcibly removed west of the Mississippi in what is now called the Trail of Tears. Having taken possession of the land, the settlers had stolen from the Native Americans. They then stole people from Africa to farm that land. And they used selective parts of the Bible to condone slavery. In the Jewish Bible, the children of slaves were not slaves. They were free. It wasn't handed on like an inheritance. Slavery was often for a particular period of time because of a debt or something like that. And regularly, slaves were freed. That was just part of the land of slavery in the Jewish Bible. But that was never part of American slavery. In Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Africa, the story is similar. With the additional torture, the children were forcibly removed from parents and family. All done in the name of him who loved little children, because we knew better than anyone else. It was only as an adult that I began to appreciate how pervasive the Western sense of entitled privilege is. As a child, I remember my brothers pressurizing me to play cowboys and Indians. And I didn't want to play because I would have to be the Indian. And I knew the Indians were the bad guys, they were the savages, and the Indians never won. The cowboys always won, and I wanted to be a cowboy. And no, I had to be the Indian, so I didn't want to play. Another memory I have is of hearing an African-American woman say in some interview that she felt blessed that she was born a woman of color because she said white people were very self-seeking. And I remember thinking, why would anyone want to be born colored? Because I knew nothing about segregation laws, knew nothing about that. But I did know instinctively that people of color were somehow second-class citizens, second-class humans, really. I never got a lesson about that. My parents never spoke to me about anything like that. No teacher ever said that, but I knew it. And where did I learn it? I learned it from television and from books, from comic strips, from cowboy films. But surely we say that that is all in the past, especially in the case of us well-educated people. But superiority complex, it should be long gone. But unfortunately, I think the Western mindset is still firmly set in entitlement mode. Why else is there a need for protests about Black Lives Matter? Why are the figure for hate crimes in Ireland rising? Our sense of entitlement is highlighted in our attitude to third world populations when it comes to global warming and climate chaos. In early centuries, the certainty of belief about Christianity may have bolstered our sense of superior entitlement. But we can't blame religion for it now, because no one or very few people are going to churches. The reality is that we still think that we are entitled to more than others. It's several years since I read that piece by Chief Seattle. He died in 1866, but how prophetic are his words. More than 140 years ago, the Native American Indian knew the truth that what men do to beasts and to the earth, we do to ourselves. The Americans made a promise to the Indians that they would look after the beasts. We are losing species at an unprecedented and accelerating rate. We write reports, we hold conferences, we talk about what we must do. We want anyone except ourselves to change our behavior to halt this decline in biodiversity. We want everyone to take action to reduce carbon emissions. Everyone else. But they are not doing it. Why should we do it? We only do this. We still think that we are entitled to our accustomed comfort. We have no conscience that the poorest countries who contribute least amount to carbon towards global warming are suffering the effects of climate chaos. We talk about climate justice, but is our sense of justice really offended? Do we feel it, or do we just think of it in a technical sort of way? Another boatload of refugees sank in the Mediterranean last night. Do we lose any sleep over that? If we really felt that there was injustice, we would badger our government to pass laws. And more importantly, we would do something about it. Cut down on our driving, use less electricity, moderate the things we want. I mentioned earlier of how I learned wrongly from films and comics that native cultures are inferior to Western culture. I learned that we were superior to other peoples. And while writing this, I realized that there's something else I think I may have taken from the stories that is also something completely wrong. And this is an even bigger mistake on my part, and this only came to me the other day. I was wrong when I thought about Indians and native peoples as being inferior to us. Here's what else I discovered. In those comic strips and in the films, no matter how dire the situation seemed to be for the good guys, the invaders, rescue always came. Just when the fort is certain to fall into Indian hands, when they're down to their last two rounds of ammunition, either the token good Indian or Rin Tin Tin the dog would manage to slip through the cordon, and just in the nick of the time, the cavalry came charging over the hill and we went home happy. They were rescued. Rescue came late, but rescue always came. Could it be that we're still waiting for the cavalry to save us from our folly? I hope, please someone tell me, there's some good Indian out there, or at least a very clever dog who's going to save the day for us. Amen.